strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show, KTAR News, 92.3 FM, and the KTAR News app.
All right, welcome back, everybody. I am the epitome of multitasking. I'm Barry Marks, and I'm in for Broomhead. It's after 11, everybody. It's hot. It's hot out there. I can't stop it. Man, I'm getting tired of the hot. It's funny. I come inside the studio right now. It's like a meat locker. I mean, we're like curing prosciutto in here right now. Steve, how is it in there with you and Quinn? Is it chilly in the control room?
I just said like a minute ago, I was like, I think Barry turned the temperature down to like 45 degrees.
It's really not. I think
because you know your thermostat controls my room, so
I think it's like 72 degrees. But for some reason, your room gets colder than mine. But even I'm a little chilly. But I like it. I like it cold when it's hot outside.
All right,
that's just my thing. All right, speaking of hot, man, the Phoenix Suns. Steve, stay with me here. I mean, this is this was great. If you've been watching these games, the Suns are just. They look great, and I don't even like talking about this, but I just saw online a projection, NBA projection for the championship, for winning the championship. The Suns, 53% chance, according to this projection, I don't know who did it, of winning the championship, and the next highest was 27%, almost half. So the Suns, according to at least some people, are looking very strong right now.
Yeah, they got to be the favorite at this point. The Suns swept the Denver Nuggets in the last round.
Yeah.
They beat the defending champion Lakers in the first round. They just won game one against the LA Clippers, who were widely regarded as a favorite at the beginning of this season.
Yep.
Why would they not be the favorite?
Yeah, and they beat the Clippers without Chris Paul. Which is pretty amazing, too. Now, it was at home, and the Clippers were coming off. The Suns had a week to rest, and the Clippers came off a game and were arguably could have been tired. But you're right. But what I'm mostly impressed with, and this has been going on since they came back against the Lakers, I think it was game four where they won that game. They haven't lost a game since then. I mean, knock on wood here, but they haven't lost a game since then. The Suns have just seemed like they're in control. Like they're having fun and they're enjoying themselves. But when you see them play, there's an intensity and a focus. And maybe you see this on every NBA team in the playoffs, but they are not letting up. And, you know, Steve, you know this as a big sports fan. When the Suns were up 2-0 against Denver and you go back, I mean, there's almost always that let up game where the team gets they're a little too comfortable, right? And the Suns didn't do that. The Suns just had Denver down, and they just put I don't want to use the wrong analogy here with current political events, but they kind of put their knee on the throat and kept Denver down. And that's impressive to me.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the thing I love about this team, too, it reminds me a lot of the teams that we watched with Steve Nash 10 years ago. And the reason for that is, yes, there are star players like Chris Paul and Devin Booker, and DeAndre Ayton's been great, by the way.
Yeah.
But what's really making this team so fantastic is actually the bench.
Yeah.
And the fact that they have 10 guys on the team that they can play. It's not like your typical team, like the Lakers, for instance. They're good because they have LeBron and they have Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
Two really, really, really good players, but that's all you got.
Right. Clippers are kind of like that too, right? Clippers have a couple of scorers, and then after that, it kind of starts to drop off a little bit. But you're right. The Suns, whoever they bring in off the bench, I'm comfortable. Whoever's taking a shot, I'm like, let them shoot. Like there isn't really anybody of that 10 who get on the court where I'm saying, oh my God, why is he touching the ball? Other than I don't like seeing Crowder dribble. I never don't like to see that. But other than that, I'm pretty much comfortable with anything.
It's a really well-built team. It's funny. I read an article today that was from the perspective of Ryan McDonough. He used to be the GM. And it was, I think the title of the article was like, what's it like to watch the Suns do all this winning with the team that you built? And he deserves some credit. He drafted Devin Booker. He drafted DeAndre Ayton. Yeah. He traded for Mikal Bridges. All good players. But really, the part of this team that made it good is the bench and the depth and all the other players that make this thing go.
No, you're right. And I mean, it's the Crowders and the other part. James Jones, the general manager of the Suns, just won executive of the year in the NBA, and a hire that a lot of people questioned when he made the hire and didn't seem to have Jones. I remember seeing some interviews. He didn't seem to have a grasp on some of what the job was, and people didn't think he was working hard or whatever.
He had just gotten done being a player.
Right. And people were thinking, how is this guy going to be the GM? But you have to give him credit. He built a team. He had an idea of the kind of player he wanted. I think based on his days playing and seeing, look, he saw a lot of players as a player with talent who never really won. And I think he has in his mind the picture of what a winning player is. Not the most talented player all the time, but a player who gives the kind of effort and teamwork and humility and I don't know what it is, but he has something in his mind and he filled this team with those people. And it worked. It's been amazing.
what people probably don't realize is James Jones as a player, he kind of rode the coattails of LeBron James towards the end of his career. LeBron was winning a bunch of titles right. for these teams, and James Jones was on the bench most of the time and not playing most of the time. But this is kind of the opposite of that, where this team doesn't have a LeBron James
yeah.
who can just carry them every game. Devin yeah. Booker was fantastic in game one. Chris Paul is fantastic.
Yeah. But what you're right, though. What you see in most of these playoff games is the Suns starting five, they all are in double digits in scoring.
It's, yeah.
This is a very well-rounded team. They play well together. They enjoy each other. They're selfless. They don't mind giving up the shot. They don't mind, you know what I'm saying? Everything they're doing is team-oriented, and that's awesome. Now, it's easy to do that when you're winning, but it's awesome.
Well, and how different is this city when the Suns are winning?
Oh, it's great.
It's crazy. Yeah. I mentioned last week, I remember when the Cardinals went to the NFC Championship game a couple years back. I think it was 2015, if I remember right. The city was not like this.
No, the Suns have always... Look, it's been a long time, but the Suns always excite the city. People who aren't big sports fans get into it. I don't know why that is, but it always has been. And I got to tell you, that arena... I went there yesterday, but the arena sounded so loud. I mean, we played that earlier, Al McCoy calling the end of the game yesterday, and just listen to the crowd for a second.
The ball is inbounded and lost. Cam Johnson with the steal. Suns win. Suns win. Suns win. Game number one.
I mean, you can just hear that. That is crazy in there. And I got to tell you, I went to game one against the Lakers when it was only 11,000 fans, which, by the way, I loved. It spread out. It was phenomenal. But even then, people were loud. People were into it. It was fun. This is fun.
What pandemic?
Yeah. But except for the 10 empty rows behind the bench, everything else is packed
it's
in there.
It's just packed. Nobody's wearing masks.
Oh, my goodness. It does. I got to tell you, though, great time to be a Suns fan. It only, you know, you feel so good that the Suns changed the city. It almost feels a degree or two cooler. It's amazing how the effect they have on town. You know, also, I just want to just touch on this. The NCAA, there was a lawsuit that went up to the Supreme Court, and the court decided it today. A male football player and a female basketball player sued the NCAA, saying that their regulations, not about paying them directly, but about giving them additional education benefits. The NCAA limits what colleges can do for grad students, for example, whether they can give them a scholarship or a paid tutor, or an internship and things like that. Sued. And the Supreme Court today, the U.S. Supreme Court, unanimously found for the players. They affirmed a lower court's decision. And by the way, if you're a judge, if you're a federal court judge, then the lower court decision, the Supreme Court praised this judge so much with her analysis and how she wrote. It was, I mean, she's going to frame this thing. It's unbelievable what they thought of her. But what it ends up now is colleges are going to be able to offer some enhanced educational benefits, not direct pay, but they can offer some paid internships and scholarships to be a grad student and college educational type equipment, things like that. It's going to start this process where I think you'll see compensation for college players and probably a big advantage for the larger schools with a huge athletic budget and a disadvantage for schools that don't have that, because their players are going to say, hey, what can I get now? It's not just what scholarship, what education do I get? It's what else can I get now? Coming up, it's a little segment we like to call Did You Hear This? Steve's going to come in here. He's going to quiz me. If I get any of the questions wrong, he buzzes. He just shocks me. He shocks me with a buzzer. That's what happens. That's next. I'm Mark sitting in for Broomhead. It's KTAR.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM, and the KTAR News app.
All right, here we go. This is where we put the big spotlight on Steve Zinsmeister. And as I understand it, he's going to be shocking you with a cattle prod if I get this wrong. There we go, Steve.
Did you hear this? Broomhead's reaction to the hottest news stories.
No cattle were harmed in the making of this.
No, just me.
The Suns are off to a hot start in the Western Conference Finals.
The ball is inbounded and lost. Cam Johnson with the steal. Suns win. Suns win. Suns win. Game number one of the Western Conference Finals, and the Suns win it. The final score, Suns 120. Los Angeles Clippers 114.
You see what I did there? Suns hot start. Just some star humor for you.
Yeah, it's amazing the quality of what you do in the show.
Not to take away anything from the big win, but should the NBA have allowed Chris Paul to play in Game 1 even though he has COVID?
Yes, but here's the thing, and it's the players' fault, I think. This is my opinion. I don't know this for sure. But the Players Association of the league, before the season started, put a whole bunch of protocol in place about how they were to protect the players from getting COVID. So that nobody's allowed on the court. I mean, I went to a game. No gorilla on the court. No Suns dancers on the court. Nobody extra is on that court or anywhere near them. 8-10 rows behind the benches. Completely blocked off. All of that's still in place today, even though our COVID reality today is much different than it was when the season started. So they haven't changed it. The players should have gone to the league and said, hey, we should readdress this because things are different. They never did. The league never did. They got to follow their rules.
Today, there was a big decision in the Supreme Court when it comes to paying student athletes.
College athletes still cannot get paid, but the Supreme Court unanimously decided that limits on education-related compensation violate federal antitrust laws. This only applies to restraints on things like scholarships for graduate school and payments for tutoring.
So, clear this up for me. Do college athletes get paid now?
No, not directly, but they can get scholarships after they graduate if they go to grad school, and they can get paid internships, which you're not getting paid to be an athlete. You're getting paid to do the internship, which is a new thing around the world. Used to be, by the way, an internship, forget sports, an internship used to be not paid, but that somebody decided that was somehow discriminating against and doing bad things for students, so now they're paid internships. So, but what it does do is it allows each college to decide how much we're going to pay for the paid internship. You're allowed to give educational support equipment now, like musical instruments and computers and other accessories. So now you're going to start to see athletic departments offering student athletes a whole bunch of little benefits to come play for them. And I got to tell you, Steve, I think we're probably less than 2 years away from a court saying colleges can pay student athletes. I think that's coming. It was mentioned in the court's decision that the NCAA is going to have trouble keeping that from happening, and that the NCAA's argument that we're an amateur conference and we want to keep it that way, and it hurts our ability to do what we do if people don't see us as amateur sports. The court kind of said, "Yeah, you're going to struggle with that defense."
You're listening to Did You Hear This, where we're playing sound from the top newsmakers, and then if I don't like Barry Markson's opinion, I chalk him with a cattle prod. No, that is not happening, just to be clear. Of all the Arizona COVID cases in the month of May, 95% of them were people who were not fully vaccinated.
Yes.
90% were people who had zero doses, and the other 5% had one shot. That tells me that the vaccines work, so what more convincing do people need?
I don't know. And I got to tell you, you want to break out the cattle prod. Maybe that's where we need it, in these people who don't want to get vaccinated. Look, if you have a medical reason, there are some people where your doctor's going to tell you don't get this shot because of A, B, or C. Okay. But for everybody else, if you're not doing it because for political reasons, or you don't want the government involved in your medical decisions, or whatever other reason you're telling yourself, you're hurting yourself. And I don't even mind that if that's what you want to do. What I don't like is you're not getting vaccinated and it's hurting everybody else in our community. It's hurting me and my family and my friends, because if you get COVID and you expose other people who have to COVID, even if they're vaccinated, they can still get it. They can still go to the hospital. They can still die. Why do that? Even if you don't want to do it, take the step and be a good member of our community, a good citizen of the United States and Arizona, and get the shot. I especially don't understand people who are living with their spouse or someone in their household and they're saying, I don't want to get the shot, and it puts your loved ones at risk. Why? Why would you do that? What level of selfish silliness do you have to have? I honestly don't understand. I'm sorry if I'm being a little strong. I know a lot of people out there don't want to get this vaccine. But, Steve, you just said it. 95% of the people getting COVID in Arizona last month were not fully vaccinated. It doesn't get any more obvious.
What if I told you that consuming a fungus was the secret to preventing cancer?
Researchers at Penn State College of Medicine looked at 17 cancer studies done over decades to determine the relationship between mushroom consumption and cancer risk.
People that tended to eat higher levels of mushrooms, they tend to have a lower risk for cancer development.
Just to be clear, we're talking about mushrooms, the food.
You obviously have something going on with mushrooms.
I just want to bring that up.
I don't think that when you say mushrooms.
I think
mushrooms.
It's important to bring that up. Should we all be ordering mushrooms on our pizza and
apparently
everything else we eat?
I mean, this the report you just played said high levels of mushrooms, but the study I read, it just said if you eat two mushrooms a day, two medium-sized mushrooms a day, it's enough to reduce your risk of getting cancer by 45%. Think about that for a second. I think even if I didn't like mushrooms, I'd eat mushrooms. Even if I thought the government was making me eat mushrooms, I'd eat mushrooms. If it cuts your chance of getting a cancer by 45%, I'm telling you right now, seriously, I'm incorporating mushrooms into more of my diet. No question about it. All right, there you have it. Did you hear this? Steve Zinsmeister, he produces the whole show, and of course that big segment of the program. That's the one he'll take national. That's the one that's going to really, really have him take off. We're just waiting for that. And you can sponsor that, Steve, right? Is there a sponsorship available for that?
Currently, no. I think I've got a couple cattle prod companies that are lining up, though.
Yeah, that'll be the big one. Boy, that'd be good radio if you were shocking me during that. That would have been good. All right, on the other side, we heard this during the last segment. The vaccine rate in Arizona and how it's affecting people who get COVID now. We're going to give you the numbers from last month. You're going to be shocked about who is getting COVID in Arizona and why. All that's next on the Mike Broomhead Show. I'm Barry Markson.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
All right, I'm Barry Markson in for Mike Broomhead, and thanks for being here with us on KTAR. Boy, I've got to tell you, and maybe you've picked up on this earlier in the show, I am not happy if you're not vaccinated. I just got to tell you, I'm struggling with it. And some numbers came out today that I think just reinforce how, number one, how good the vaccine is, and what it's how you can just see it in these numbers. It's incredible. So what they said in May, and Steve, this is interesting. I know you saw these numbers, but how many people would you have guessed got COVID in May of 2021? So just last month. Because you see the numbers now, and it's like somewhere between, I don't know what, 350 and 700 a day, basically. It kind of goes up and down, maybe 350 and 550 for most days. It doesn't sound like that much, right?
Yeah, I was going to guess like 400 a day times 30.
Yeah.
What are we looking at, like 12,000?
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess that's right. But it's almost 17,000. 16,910 people in Arizona got COVID last month. So I'm going to call it 17,000. Which is a good number. I mean, you know, not in the realm of 7 million people in the population overall, but that's a lot more. And I don't know why. I hadn't done the math in my head that way. And what the study has shown, not the study, this the data has shown, is that 95% of the 17,000 people who got COVID last month, 95% were not vaccinated, were not fully vaccinated. 90% of them were not vaccinated at all, hadn't received even one shot. And then 5% of those people had received one shot, but not the second shot yet. And what that should tell you is, number one, it's not impossible to get COVID after you're vaccinated, which we're seeing with Chris Paul right now with the Suns. I mean, what a perfect example. Here's somebody, he's vaccinated. He's getting tested every day. He's around people who are being tested every day. They're obviously careful with the NBA protocol. And Chris Paul got COVID anyway. But that's only 5% of people in Arizona who get COVID. The other 95% are people who have not been fully vaccinated. And if nothing else, that shows you, because it's about 50% of people who've been vaccinated. So it's 50-50 been vaccinated, but 95% of the people still getting COVID have not received the vaccine. I don't know what more evidence you could have as to how effective this vaccine is.
And yet we've read a lot about how Arizona is one of the states that's lagging.
Yeah.
In vaccination desire, demand?
Well, we were doing so good early on, if you remember. Once we started doing these vaccine sites and we had good weather and we were plowing through it, and I think there were lines. Remember that? I mean, people were dying to get this vaccine.
I booked an appointment for like 2 a.m.
Yeah.
At a stadium nowhere near my house.
Right. I remember Mike did that too, I think, right? He went super late at night.
Yeah.
I mean, it's incredible. I remember Chad like went to a county where he lived, but had to make it, they opened one up there, and he went during the show, and they told him, the station said, go get it. Like, people wanted it that bad. And now it's available. You can get it all over the place. There is no line anywhere. You just walk in, they'll give it to you. It takes a minute. And we have all these people, millions of people in Arizona, who are refusing to get it. They're making a conscious decision not to get something that can not only just help their health, but can help all of our health by knocking this coronavirus thing out.
Well, and I guess at some point you had to anticipate that it was going to slow down, right? I mean, if we did so well at the beginning, which I truly believe that we did, And I hear you saying that we did a good job of the rollout of the vaccine. Eventually, it had to die down, right?
Well, dying down's fine, but there are still millions of people who, I mean, there are 7 million people in Arizona. Look, some of them are kids. They're under 12. They can't get it yet. I understand. But there are millions of people in Arizona who have not been vaccinated, and they're not going out in big numbers to get it. And that's a decision. Somebody's made a decision, said, I'm not going to get COVID. And again, I know some of them, I think it's a very small percentage. I think some of them can't get it. Something about the vaccine or whatever condition they're in or something, they shouldn't get it. But for everybody else, the reason they're not getting it is, there's several reasons. People will say, I think it's experimental. I don't think there was enough time testing it. And by the way, all of these things have been debunked. The research behind the vaccine, COVID isn't new. COVID-19 was a little bit new, but the similar things have been happening in years past. There were vaccines for them in the past. The time it took to develop this vaccine was the same amount of time normally taken, and the testing was the same testing and the same amount of time of testing as normal. The only thing that changed was that the government said to the vaccine makers, as soon as you think you have one, we're buying it. You don't have to be approved yet, but before FDA approves it, when you get to a certain level of testing, before FDA approval, we'll pay for you to manufacture it. So you're doing it risk-free. We're going to buy it, even if it's no good. And that cut out a ton of the bureaucracy and the time and made it faster. So it isn't that it's experimental. It isn't that it's less that it was less testing or less research or less anything else. It doesn't change your DNA. Some people aren't getting because they think it changes their DNA. I did a show with you a few months ago, Steve. People thought the rumor was it made you gay, which is ridiculous, obviously, and wasn't true. There's all of these rumors that people are using and saying, I'm not getting it for this rumor. I'm not getting it. Or they're just saying for political reasons, I'm not going to take something because the government's encouraging me to get it. And I just look at them and I'm like, are you crazy? Like 50, 60 years ago, 70 years ago, when the polio vaccine came out and the government encouraged everybody to get the polio vaccine so we could eradicate polio, would you have sat on the side and said, I'm not getting it? The government tells me to get it. It must be bad. I'm not going to get it. What happened to our country?
Well, and President Biden has set a goal that he wants 70% of Americans vaccinated by July 4th. By the way, that's in like 2 weeks.
That's not happening.
First of all, I don't think it's going to happen on a national level. It's definitely not on pace to happen in Arizona, where, what are we at? Currently, about 50% of people are fully vaccinated. But at this rate, I think I read last week, at this current vaccination rate, we would hit that 70% goal late this year, if not early next year. But we're not going to maintain this current COVID rate.
No, there are people. There's obviously a huge chunk of the Arizona population that are making the decision not to get the vaccine. Now, maybe some of them get it later. Maybe some of them say, OK, it's safer now. But we're 6 months or so into people getting the vaccine. I haven't grown a third head or anything different coming out of my. There's more hair, but otherwise no other things growing
that
out of my body.
That tail is a little weird.
Don't mention the tail. But it's. But my point is millions and millions and millions of people have received these vaccines. They're safe as vaccines are. Look, it's incredible to me. And if you don't want to get it for yourself, if you have some political reason, whatever it is that it upsets you, think about other people. That's the part that gets me. If you live with people, if you have family or parents who are older, if you have people near you who are more susceptible to real illness if they get COVID, just because they have the vaccine doesn't mean they can't get it. It doesn't mean they can't get sick and doesn't mean they can't be hospitalized for it. Why are you putting them at risk? I honestly don't understand it. You're being selfish about some thing that you think is big and as a result putting the rest of us at risk. And it's the epitome of rudeness is really what it is, not caring about your fellow citizens for a political reason or because suddenly because the internet's there, we all think we're doctors now. We all think we're experts in everything. The doctors have said it's safe. The scientists have said it's safe. And if you're not sure about it, just look around because millions of your fellow citizens in Arizona have received this vaccine and we're fine and we're living our life and we don't have to wear masks and we don't have to worry about infecting ourselves or infecting others. I just encourage everybody to get it. It just makes no sense otherwise. All right. On the other side, you've by no doubt seen it. It's hot. It's just stinking hot. Here in the Valley of the Sun. We're going to talk about this record-breaking heat. I'll tell you about the record we broke yesterday and what's coming up later and how this reflects on the type of heat we see in the Valley in other years. It's not, after last summer and now this summer, it's not shaping up good as far as the heat goes. We'll talk about that next. I'm Barry Markson. It's KTAR.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
All right, welcome back. I'm Barry Marks, and in for Mike. Thanks for being here. It's KTAR. You know, I saw this last week, and then I didn't see this. Bill Maher, you guys know Bill Maher. So Bill Maher's a liberal comedian. He's on HBO and Real Time with Bill Maher. He's a liberal, but he also has a very pragmatic side. He's not a crazy progressive. I mean, he calls people out on both sides of the aisle and all persuasions when they say things that are kind of crazy. And he did it again this Friday. And I just wanted to touch base with you on this because I read about it earlier in the week. You know who Lin-Manuel Miranda is, right? He's the one who wrote Hamilton, the great Broadway show. And he, before Hamilton, actually, he wrote a show called In the Heights, and it was about a Hispanic neighborhood, a Hispanic community in New York, I think that where he grew up, kind of. It was kind of loosely based on that. And that show was just recently made into a movie. I think it was going to be on HBO Max. It might be in theaters, too. I'm not exactly sure. So, you know, you have to remember, this is the guy who did Hamilton, who made all the founding fathers black and Hispanic, right? I mean, if you've seen Hamilton, you know every character who, you know, George Washington's a black guy. I mean, every character he did, it was very interesting, and he did it with rap music and other. It was really unique and unbelievably good. So this is not somebody who, and he's Hispanic himself, this is not somebody who shies away from that kind of thing or wants less representation of minority actors and things like that. So when he did In the Heights, the all of the actors who are in these parts are Hispanic. It's not white people playing Hispanics. It's Hispanics. It's supposed to show like the area where he grew up, and it did that. And it wasn't just the actors. It was the producers and everybody on the set. It was very, very inclusive. And the movie came out and got some good reviews. And then some people in the community, the very liberal progressive community, came out and ripped Lin-Manuel Miranda a little bit because the film lacked enough Afro-Latino performers. They were Latino, but they weren't Afro-Latino. So we're getting down to very specifics now to try to meet what everybody needs. I mean, it's just incredible. And this is Lin-Manuel Miranda, right? I mean, this isn't me putting a movie together and not getting it right. This is the guy who does. He's the guy who did Hamilton. And rather than come out and say, seriously, I did this whole movie about a Hispanic community in New York. I have all Hispanic actors. We have everybody. Rather than say that, here's what he said. I started writing In the Heights because I didn't feel seen. And over the last 20 years, all I wanted was for us, all of us, to feel seen. I'm seeing the discussion around Afro-Latino representation in our film this weekend, and it is clear that many in our dark-skinned Afro-Latino community don't feel sufficiently represented within it, particularly among the leading roles. I can hear the hurt and frustration over colorism, of feeling unseen in the feedback. I hear that without sufficient dark-skinned Afro-Latino representation, the work feels extractive of the community we wanted so much to represent with pride and joy. In trying to paint a mosaic of this community, we fell short. I'm truly sorry. It goes on and on. But you understand, he's apologizing. And what Bill Maher came out and said on his show on Friday is, stop it. He said, this is why people hate Democrats. And he's right. He said, please, this is Bill Maher now, please stop apologizing. You're the guy who made the founding fathers black and Hispanic. You don't think, I don't think that you have to apologize to Twitter for F's sake. This is why people hate Democrats. It's cringy. And you know what? Bill Maher's right. He's right. You don't. It's getting. This is the kind of stuff where it just gets out of hand. Where people say, "Yes, we should have diversity. We should have inclusiveness. We should do all of these. Of course, we should have that. There should be no discrimination." And here you have a guy who his entire career has been working toward that, and not just working toward it, but doing it more than almost anyone else in this field, in theater, and in movies, and in music. No one else has done as much as Lin-Manuel Miranda. Nobody else, and even him. There are people in this community who can't get enough. There's never, ever enough. It seems like some people, and they're on all sides, some people just want to complain. They just want to find the thing that they think isn't enough or isn't sufficient, how you did it wrong. It's amazing to me. And I just think for someone like him, like Lin-Manuel Miranda, he doesn't have to apologize to anybody about this stuff. He made a movie he wanted to make about his story. He did it the way he wanted to do it, and he did it in a way that I think 99.99% of people or anywhere would say, my goodness, what a great movie you made. You used all Hispanic actors in these key roles, everything, and even that's not enough, and he's apologizing. What we need is some people like him to stand up when somebody criticizes something that silly to say, no, enough. It's too much. Be supportive. Recognize what we did as a positive and view it that way and talk about it that way. Be supportive of our community who are doing things like this. You want more of this in media, in film, in TV? Then be supportive of it. Don't keep looking for other ways to criticize. It's really amazing. So Bill Maher said that, and he's right. This is why. If you're a Democrat, you're wondering why some people can't handle this stuff, this is why. It's this sort of thing. All right, everybody. Thanks for having me in. Special thanks to Steve Zinsmeister. He produces the big program. And Quinn back there running the show. Thank you, Quinn. Lauren's our, what do we call her? The intern? Something like that? All right, there you go. Thank you. I'm Barry Markson. In for Broomhead. Mike's back tomorrow. Have a great Monday, everybody. Stay cool. Drink some water. And enjoy the summer months. It's KTAR.